You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. More than 300,000 vulnerable people in Michigan depend on public mental health care. Their needs must not be forgotten as the state wrestles with the question of who should control and deliver that care, whether mental health funding will be taken away from community mental health groups and transferred to private insurers in Michigan's Medicaid health plans. Tom Watkins has played a vital role in delivering services for people struggling with mental health issues, substance abuse disorders, and developmental disabilities. Among many positions, he was director of the State Department of Mental Health under Governor Blanchard. For the past 4 years, he's directed the Detroit Wayne Mental Health Authority. But this week, he is stepping down, having chosen not to renew his contract. Tom Watkins, welcome. And as you look out over the state's mental health care landscape, what's working well right now, both for people and for budgets?
Well, one of the things is our public mental health system is doing great things, has need for improvement. We need to continue to invest in it. We have to decide if we really are going to allow our jails and our prisons to become the de facto psychiatric facilities, which they have been in this state and across the nation. There's some task forces that are looking at that right now. But the prison system now pays $99,000 a year for a person with mental illness that may have violated law, and we have to ask ourselves which came first. If we would have provided the appropriate care for that individual in our community, and if we would have funded those programs appropriately, perhaps that person wouldn't be sitting in a county jail or in our state prisons. And so I commend Speaker Leonard. Tom Leonard has put together a task force to look at this issue, but we have to understand that policies we made in the past halfway of catching up with this. And when we close a number of state facilities in the 90s and then don't hold our private hospitals accountable for truly serving people with serious mental illness in their community, we're going to have some problems.
So that public policy that looks good on the surface, such as the decision by the Engler administration to close so many of those state mental health hospitals, might look good on the surface and then can extract.
Well, the follow through has to be there. I mean, and one, I found it kind of fascinating today because we're talking about integration of care. And clearly that makes sense. I mean, because how do you separate your behavioral health, your mental health, your substance abuse needs from your physical health? I mean, we're one body, one soul.
So those, you believe, totally need to be integrated
absolutely
into a single delivery system.
The question is not if. The question is how and when. What values are going to drive those decisions? But if we say that we're going to integrate care and then allow local community hospitals to say we don't have any room at the inn if you're mentally ill, I mean, can you imagine a hospital saying, no, 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 we can't take you. Your heart attack is too severe. That doesn't happen. So I think we have to be consistent in our ideology, in our policies, and our enforcement. If we're truly going to be about integrating care, we need to do it across the system, or we're going to end up the old pay me now or pay me later. And we're paying big time in terms of loss of human dignity and putting people in prison that really need a mental health facility.
As you led the transition from what had been the Wayne County Community Mental Health Agency over to the Detroit Wayne Mental Health Authority, you say your guiding principle has been put the patient and client first in everything, even cost cutting and budget efficiencies?
Well, you have to. When I was state superintendent, I had a yardstick that I used to guide us. And on the yardstick, it said, show me how this helps a teacher teach and a child learn. The Michigan Department of Education decision-making ruler. Everything we do should be about helping teachers teach and children learn. And the public mental health system, and this is by listening to consumers themselves, listening to people that work in the system, we came down with a mantra that we are going to be consumer and community-focused, data-driven, and evidence-based in all we do. So, you know, tell me you know local politician that or the like. It's nice that you know them. I know them, too. The question is, are you investing the resources in serving some of the most vulnerable people in our community? Remembering all the time, it's not those people. These are our friends, our neighbors, our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, our brothers that are deserving of being treated with dignity and respect and getting the care that we would want for somebody we love.
That stigma is still a very, and as much as it's talked about, it's still a problem.
It's still a problem. We need to break it down because you're not weak because you're depressed. It's an illness. It's a disease just like a high blood pressure or medical problem, heart attack, or the like. And we need to break that down. Our U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow has just been fantastic on that issue, as well as Brian Kelly, the Lieutenant Governor, to try to work with us to address those concerns.
When you look around the state, both on the ground level where you've been working in Detroit and Wayne County and at the state level, is that not happening everywhere? I mean, how and where are we falling short of putting the patient and the client first?
Well, I think that there is. I mean, one of the concerns that I have when we talk about transferring the resources, $2.6 billion of yours and my tax dollars from the public mental health system, which is open, where people can come and do come and challenge the decisions we're making with their money. When you transfer that over to the private profit-making system, you're not going to get past the security guard at the building where they're operated. So do we have a system of care that is truly open, accessible, and transparent? Are we making decisions that are about consumer and community-focused, data-driven, and evidence-based? Are we making decisions based on the bottom line? And the bottom line, that's, I mean, and again, not to be critical, their job is to return dollars to their shareholders. It's to make profit for the company. But that profit shouldn't come out of human decency and human care. And I think the people of the state of Michigan want to assure that the dollars are going not to make somebody rich, but to enrich the lives of the people we have a responsibility to serve.
So to this point of, as you say, you believe the physical and the mental health care should not stand as separate entities, so then who should control the system? Should the mental health services remain in the control of public entities like community mental health centers, or should these private insurance companies take the lead?
Absolutely, we should take the lead, and we should meld. I mean, there's a lot of good things.
So private insurance companies?
No. What I would see, and we've laid forth a plan, where rather than turning the public over to the private, we're saying to the privates, we'd like you to join us. We want to drive the vision, the value. We want to make sure that what we do well is driving the process, but also understanding that they're not the enemy. They have a place in the system, and maybe they do utilization management better or credentialing better than us. Maybe their IT system, because they've been able to invest in it, are better. So let's take a look at how we can blend the system that takes into account the vision, the values, the commitment, the over 50 years of history that the public mental health system has served people and served them well.
So not all or nothing.
It doesn't have to be all or nothing. And that's, you know, the part in the political process. We can work together to solve problems. It doesn't have to be you lose, we win. We can make this a win-win for the persons that we're supposed to serve.
What does concern you most about the direction that the state does seem to be going in letting these private health insurance companies have more control over the public mental health system? What are your biggest worries?
Well, it's worries, and it's not without merit. I mean, if you take a look at what's happened around the country, is they come in, they take the profit out, and when the profit is no more, and we're seeing this happen now, they leave town. Well, they leave town, but the family member with a serious mental illness, the child with an intellectual developmental disability, the person with substance use disorder, they don't get to leave town. They're still here. And so we have to be very, very cautious, and I implore the legislature as they make these decisions to act as though their decision was going to impact somebody they love, because ultimately it will. I mean, mental illness doesn't skip any zip code, nor does substance abuse, and very few people are going to get through this life without having somebody they care deeply about. And it doesn't matter how great of insurance you have. If your child is born with an intellectual developmental disability, you're going to need some help. You're going to need some support, and that's what we should be all about.
Tom Watkins, thanks for spending time with us today on Stateside.
It's really great to be with you. Thank you so much.